Some of you may already have a pencil. Bissy, can you give everybody 2 sticks? JP, can you please give everybody a pencil? And I'm going to ask Sangha first, and then Ed to read from some portions of scripture that both begin with the letter E. So if you have a Bible, then please turn to Ezekiel 37 and maybe keep your finger there. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. So if Ezekiel 37 and Ephesians chapter 2. So Ezekiel 37, Sam's going to read verses 15 to 28, and then after that Ed will read Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22.
The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Joseph, that is to Ephraim, and all the Israelites associated with him. Join them together into one stick, so that they will become one in your hand. When your people ask you, 'Won't you tell us what you mean by this?' say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I am going to take the stick of Joseph, which is in Ephraim's hand, and of the Israelite tribes associated with him, and join it to Judah's stick. I will make them one. I will make them into a single stick of wood, and they will become one in my hand. Hold before their eyes the sticks you have written on, and say to them, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says. I will take the Israelites out of the nations where they have gone. I will gather them from all over, all around, and bring them back into their own land. I will make them one nation in the land, on the mountains of Israel. There will be one king over all of them, and they will never again be two nations or be divided into two kingdoms. They will no longer defile themselves with their idols and vile images or with any of their offences, for I will save them from all their sinful backsliding, and I will cleanse them. They will be my people, and I will be their God. My servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd. They will follow my laws and be careful to keep my decrees. They will live in the land I gave to my servant Jacob, the land where your ancestors lived. They and their children and their children's children will live there forever, and David my servant will be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant. I will establish them and increase their numbers, and I will put my sanctuary among them forever. My dwelling place will be with them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Then the nations will know that I, the Lord, make Israel holy, when my sanctuary is among them forever."
So Ephesians 2 verse 11 to 22. Therefore remember the formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives in his Spirit.
Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that your word gives life. We thank you that your word is true and remains true. And we place ourselves under the authority of your word. Holy Spirit, speak to each of us. Speak to our spirits the word of God. Enliven us, envision us, and equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. You'll hear a lot in Shofar in 2016, wherever you are, whichever continent, whichever region, whichever congregation, you'll hear a lot about God's building. That's the theme for the year. Those of us who were at Convergence had it introduced to us there, and then there's been some tasters since then already. But before you can build, there needs to be some other steps. I'm not into DIY. I'm not a builder. Have been involved in a few building projects. But if you build without planning, or specifically in the UK, if you build without planning permission, it will be taken. Whatever you build would be taken down. And we need to seek God to see what he wants us to build, and then maybe there's even some taking down. Some taking down of buildings which may have been well-intentioned, but were not the buildings that God wanted for right now. And we built up Little Gates, our church preschool, 5 years ago, and then built it down midway through last year. And it served its purpose. But if that purpose is no longer for us, then we have to be open to hear what God says and be prepared to undo before we then build. So that's just a heads up. We're going to have a service in a couple of weeks' time called Activate Sunday, on Activate Sunday. And Carlos and Hercules will be here that Sunday and the following Sunday. And just as a heads up, that following Sunday will be Yaku and Erna's final Sunday. So we'll mark that. But don't... We might do it secretly. We'll see. Surprise. Not secretly, but we might do it in a surprise fashion. So when and if you see Yaku and or Erna, or even their children, you have to be careful. Surprises and children, you have to choose the right time to tell. But so the following Sunday, so 2 weeks' time, Activate Sunday, please come, and come ready to hear what God's already said, and ready to hear what God would say to you about what he wants you to build this year. This is perhaps a controversial question. Would you rather be from or living in the United Kingdom or the United States? If you had to choose one of those passports, which one would you choose? And as far as I know, you can't have dual UK and US. Maybe you can, I'm not sure. But if you had to choose one, which one would it be? I have a UK passport, so what does that mean? as opposed to being from the US. One thing it means is that I'm part of a United Kingdom and not United States. I'm not part of states that are united. I belong to a kingdom that's united. So the Queen, our sovereign, has subjects, not citizens. I am a subject of the Queen. So if you have a UK passport, or even if you've been in the UK just a few days, it should give something of an advantage. We should have an understanding of what it is to be under the authority and rule of a kingdom. Now, the world and the UK is not so much under democracy as it is under lawlessness. We do have democracy, and that's the governing process that we have in the UK. So take part in that process. We'll have an opportunity to elect a mayor for our city. London isn't just the capital of the UK. It's probably a lot more than that. And we have the opportunity, and even if you're not a UK subject, you might also have the opportunity to vote later on this year. And pray, perhaps some bias because our Member of Parliament for Tooting is standing for Mayor. I'm not going to say who to vote for in any way, but pray, because we have an opportunity to elect a Mayor for our city. And it's not just the capital of the UK, it's much more significant than that. So take part in whatever democratic process you're entitled to take part in. But remember, we're part of a kingdom. And that should give us something of a heads up, something of a head start. And hopefully that shows you where we might be going. Two into one. How do you make two into one? Now, those of you who are married should have some understanding of that, because that's the language that the Bible uses in the Old Testament and in the New. It's quoted, I think, perhaps more often than any other piece of scripture within scripture itself. It's at least four times where that scripture from Genesis is taken up by Jesus and written. Two into one. How can we make two into one? And the reading that Asanga read from Ezekiel might give you a clue. I'd like you to take your sticks, and you're going to have the opportunity to write on them a little bit later. But for now, if you were to take these two sticks, did everyone get two? And this is the instruction that was given. It's Ezekiel 37 and verse 16. Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it. And I'll say you'll get to write a little bit later. Belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it Ephraim's stick, belonging to Joseph and all the house of Israel associated with him. And then comes the next instruction, verse 17. Join them together into one stick, so that they become one in your hand. And that's your instruction. Okay, ready? Join them together into one stick, so that they become one in your hand. And there might be different ways. Different ones of you can come up with different ideas. Okay, here's one joined together in the hand. You see? Now, if it was really one, I wouldn't be able to do that so easily. But we're going to come back to those sticks. But that was the instruction that was given. And if you have the New International Version, you might see the heading there. One nation under one king. One nation under one king. I read earlier from 1 Chronicles 29. And if you want to know about a building project, then just have a look at 1 Chronicles, look at 29, and then go back a few chapters and forward a few chapters. Just the different steps that are involved in a building project. Go backwards from 1 Chronicles 29 and then go forwards into 2 Chronicles. And I'll be preaching from some of those passages in the next few weeks. I don't know how many carol services you went to, but you may have read, if you were reading, or heard read, this following scripture, and I've left one word out of the scripture, just to test you. But first, so Matthew chapter 2 and verse 6. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of... Same answer? Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. Now, how does that work? How does Matthew write, quoting Micah, chapter 5 and verse 2, how does he write about Bethlehem being in Judah, and then out of Bethlehem in Judah will come a ruler who will shepherd Israel? So we just need a little bit of history, and you can do some more research in your own time. But go back, if you have a Bible or if you're taking notes, just write down this reference to 1 Kings chapter 11. So David, when he was handing over to Solomon, there was one Israel, and they were building one temple. But something happened shortly after that. 1 Kings 11. I'm just going to read verses 30 and 31. Prophets sometimes did strange things, taking two pieces of wood, and writing on them might be considered strange. And I'm not going to rip up my new jacket. It's new to me. It's not new, but it's new to me. I didn't want to rip that up. This is what we read in 1 Kings 11, verse 30. Ahijah, he was a prophet. He took hold of the new cloak he was wearing. Imagine that. Anyone with some presents at Christmas new. He took hold of the new cloak that he was wearing and tore it into 12 pieces. Then he said to Jeroboam, take 10 pieces for yourself, for this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. See, I'm going to take the kingdom out of Solomon's hand and give you 10 tribes. How many tribes of Israel? Total? 12. And so this was the division. 10 in the northern kingdom, and then 2 in the southern kingdom. And you can read around if you want to know. So the kingdom wasn't united. It was a divided kingdom. The DK, not the UK. The DK of Israel and Judah, not the United Kingdom of GB and NI. Let me just ask this question now. It is the first service of the year, and we're going to have communion. It's a good time to have... Any time is a good time to have communion. Any time is a good time. But if you're starting something new or you're completing something, communion is apt specifically, especially at those times. What do you remember most about 2015? What do you remember most about 2015? Do you remember it like it was last week? But what do you remember most? What do you remember most? Now, maybe don't say your answers, but think, in what category was your answer? Was it to do with the world? Was it maybe, let's go a bit more international than the UK? Was it maybe what happened in Paris on the 7th of January and or the 13th of November? Were you thinking world on the world stage? Were you thinking maybe more closer to home? Something that happened to you? Did you conceive? Did you give birth? Did you start a new job? Maybe it was something to those around you, something that happened in your family. Or did you think about something that happened in church? Now, I asked you to give one answer, and you could probably give one in many different spheres. But the question, I don't want you to answer this question right now, but just over the next few weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to fast together, for 3 days. It might seem like a long time, but when you're doing it together, it's a lot easier than if you're doing it on your own. So if you want to take these, to make sure your party scheduling doesn't happen between the 18th, 19th and 20th of January, that's probably a good thing to do. You can go to a party and not eat, and you can also, you can give your reason and people will accept. But if you want to plan a party, plan it maybe before the 18th or after the 20th of January. And maybe after we've fasted, that's perhaps a good time to answer this next question. But be thinking about it now. What will you build or even rebuild in 2016? Is there maybe a division that happened that needs to be joined? How to make two into one? And the kingdom of Israel was divided. David and then Solomon, and then it was one at that point. And then when Jeroboam came along, not that it was his fault, something that Solomon was responsible for, God divided the kingdom because of their actions. The kingdom that was united became a divided kingdom. But if we go back to Micah, or to Matthew chapter 2, when he's quoting Micah chapter 5, that divided kingdom, were you there? That divided kingdom was going to be united. Out of Judah, this southern kingdom with just two tribes, there would come a ruler who would be shepherd of my people Israel. Now, Ed read from Ephesians, and we see the very same thing. If you want to summarize those two passages of scripture in three words, it would be two into one. In Ezekiel 37, two kingdoms into one kingdom. And in Ephesians chapter 2, two what into what? Verse 14, we read this. For he himself, speaking of Jesus, for he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Can we go to Ephesians chapter 2? For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Now, one benefit of living in London is that we won't be flooded. Because of what? The barrier. The Thames flood defence barrier. And it's not been there, I don't know when it was built. But if you live in London, you won't be flooded. Unlike some parts of the north of England. And read here, Jesus destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. Some flood defence barriers have been breached in the north of England. But let me ask this question. What kind of crossing is unaffected by a flood? No matter the magnitude of the flood. What kind of crossing is unaffected? So what kind of water crossing is unaffected by a flood? Let me just read again from Ephesians. Think about what Jesus did. And then maybe here's a clue. Think about where Jesus went. Think about where Jesus went after the cross. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. From the cross, where did Jesus go? He didn't go to heaven, did he? He went down. So what kind of crossing, what kind of water crossing is unaffected by a flood? Who said it? A tunnel. A tunnel is unaffected by a flood because it's underneath the water. The flood, the volume of the water can't do anything to that tunnel. So I remember, again, I don't remember a date, but I remember it being big news in the UK when the Channel Tunnel was built and opened. So for the first time, you could go to mainland Europe from the United Kingdom without having to either go by sea or by air. And if we think about what Jesus did, I'm not an engineer. But I imagine that there's some kinds of crossings that no matter what an engineer can do, you cannot build a bridge to cross that crossing. What the volume, the length, whatever it might be, the geography around. But if we think about what Jesus did, I think almost it was too great for a bridge. He had to go down. A bridge couldn't work. He had to go down into hell to take back the keys of life so that we could become one. He destroyed the dividing wall of hostility. He destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. So this is the question. What hostile barrier needs destroying? What hostile barrier needs destroying? And then let me maybe just expand by using Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28. And this verse of scripture will be familiar. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Paul's writing again, same person who wrote Ephesians, and he says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus." There's neither Jew nor Greek, male nor female, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So I'll ask the question again. What hostile dividing wall needs to be destroyed? Just as the United Kingdom of Israel was divided, we see today, and it was seen in Scripture from the beginning of the church, Peter and Paul had their disagreement. What does it mean to be a follower of Christ if you're Jewish? What does it mean to be a follower of Christ if you're not, if you're Gentile, if you're Greek? How has Jesus made these two into one? And that's the theme of Scripture. The theme of Scripture, old and new, is reconciliation, redemption, restoration. Jesus reconciled us to God. Jesus redeemed us. We were his. Our sins separated us from God. And he came and brought us back. He reconciled. He made the two into one. So now there is no Jew nor Greek. No slave nor free, no male nor female. So this is where you come to write on your sticks. What division, and it could be on a world level, it could be a personal level, it could be within your person, an intrapersonal division, a division between soul and spirit that Scripture tells us about. That's what Scripture does. It divides, it differentiates between soul and spirit. So it could be a division within oneself. It could be a division within a family. It could be a division in church. It could be a division on a world scale. What dividing wall, what hostile barrier needs destroying? And then just take the pencil or a pen if you have one. And these are for you to keep. Do whatever you wish with them, not to be shown, but we'll obviously just work on it in small groups. But no one's going to see these unless you choose to show it to anyone. What will you write on one? What will you write on the other? And then ask God to join them together. Just take maybe a minute or so to do that. You can use any language, any script. You can use more than one language, more than one script. It might be quite apt to do so. And as you do that, let me just read again the instruction that was given. Son of man, take a stick of wood and write on it, belonging to Judah and the Israelites associated with him. Then take another stick of wood and write on it, Ephraim's stick, belonging to Joseph and all the house of Israel associated with him. And then join them together into one stick, so that they will become one in your hand. Now, I don't know how that was done, how they were joined together. But if I join them like this, I'll try and do to me what I did to you. Fred said a while ago, the two arms of the cross are forgiveness and repentance. Of what was Jesus repenting on the cross? Of our sin. He said, he spoke the forgiveness, but he was repenting on the cross of our sin. And if we look at any human disagreement, whether it's within a person or between people, or between nations, or between humanity and God, we can bring that reconciliation, that redemption, that restoration by those two actions. Actions, not thoughts, not feelings, but actions. Repentance and forgiveness. Repentance of my part in any breakdown, in any division. Forgiveness on my part to anyone who was involved in that breakdown or that division. We're going to have communion. I just want to read two verses of scripture. I might read three, but there's two on the screen. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verses 42 and 44. I'll read 43 for the context as well. This is a church in its infancy, and this is what we read. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Verse 43. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. In verse 44, all the believers were together and had everything in common. What does biblical unity look like? What did the early church unity look like? It looked like this. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. We're called to be devoted, as the church was in its infancy, to those activities. They're the building tools. Teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayer. And if we look at the result of that, the result was all the believers were together and had everything in common. It's hard. It's possible, but hard, to maintain a dividing wall of hostility if you're sitting around a table with someone. And that's the beauty of what Jesus commanded us to do in communion. We're having a meal with each other. Sometimes we have a full meal, go out into the back room and have a bit more food. Or we do it as we do this morning, just with some bread or a cracker in our case, some wine or some juice in our case, and have communion with each other. And we're to be devoted to it. Devoted to it. So that we can achieve that unity. So that we can have everything in common. So that we can be together. Neil, can you bring in the elements and just wait before you eat and drink, and then we'll eat and drink together, and there'll be opportunity just to pray. We sometimes do this in small groups, but maybe just as individuals, pray for whoever or whatever is written on your stick. whoever or whatever might be written on your stick. So what does Shofar need before we build in this year? We need unity. We need unity. But it's not just something for Shofar, it's something for the whole of the body of Christ. It's something for the whole of the world. Unity is what we need. Not the negative agreement that we see in the Old Testament, the Tower of Babel. Their unity was so powerful that God had to intervene. Because unity is powerful. But we need a positive agreement, a Holy Spirit unity, where divisions can be broken down so that we can be one, so that we can build according to God's plan. I'll read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Let's eat together. Lord Jesus, we honour you for giving up your life, your equality with God. Thank you that you didn't hold on to it, but gave it up and made yourself nothing, taking human likeness, the form of a servant. And thank you, God, that you know what separation is like because of the cross. You know what division is and the pain that goes with it. And Lord Jesus, we honour you. We honour you because you are our peace. We honour you as the Prince of Peace. And then Paul writes, "In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's drink together. Thank you. Jesus, thank you for your cross. Thank you that when we see it, when we think on it, we see an example of sacrifice. We see an example of sacrifice which is unparalleled and which never will be paralleled, which cannot and need not be repeated. Lord Jesus, thank you that your blood is sufficient. Where the blood of goats and bulls was insufficient, where any human endeavor to bring us back to God is insufficient, we praise you, Lord Jesus, that your cross is sufficient, that what you did, your work on that day and night and day and night and day and night for those 3 days and three nights, your work was completed. Lord Jesus, thank you that you know what is written on every stick. You know every division that needs restoration. You know every wound that needs healing. And Holy Spirit, we speak your healing and we say, heal according to your plan, not ours. Heal in your time. And we also ask, Holy Spirit, that you would do the miraculous, that there would be instantaneous wellness without the need for the process of healing that we'll see this year, that we'll look back at the end of this year and know that you worked through the process of healing and are still working through that process of healing, but also that you healed miraculously. God, thank you. The awe that filled the believers. Thank you for the many wonders and miraculous signs that were done by the apostles. And God, we ask, Holy Spirit, work through us, not for our glory, but for your glory, not according to our plan or time or perspective, but according to yours. God, thank you that you command a blessing where there's unity. We declare unity this year. Within people, souls and bodies and spirits, within marriages, within families, within small groups, within this congregation, within the staff amidst the changes that there will be, within our region. God, we thank you that you have called us here for your purpose. Thank you for every other congregation that meets local to us here and across this city. God, we declare the unity of the body of Christ, that we will work for it and towards it and not against it, so that your kingdom can come. In Jesus' name.
My sin washed white, I owe.